that lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green. She's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't proofread that.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So.
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
See what we did there?
Yes, like so. It.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
That's very true, of course. It's a whole new era, again, for Nottingham Forest. Aitor Karanka versus Tony Pulis. Who'd have thought it, Rob?
Yes, April, I think it is.
Yeah. It's going to be very intriguing.
It'll be very strange.
But welcome to the podcast companion for issue 582. That's the game against the Cottagers, those Thames neighbours, really, who over the pond. I was thinking about this on the drive up to the studio today, Robin. I was thinking, Fulham, they've obviously got great history. They've got Johnny Haynes, who's actually there. I remember the time when Rodney Marsh and George Best were signed.
Yes,
Bobby Moore and Alan Mullery. And they lost the FA Cup final 2-0 to West Ham United in 1975. And of course Kevin Keegan, and they were probably one of the first clubs that in the era of Jack Walker and Blackburn and others were really they had obviously the Harrods owner
Al Fayyad
exactly backing them, and there was a sort of sense that they were really going to be a massive club and so on, and yet even Lee Clark hasn't managed to actually get on there. Sorry, I just couldn't resist it. Sorry, Lee. But they're coming to Middlesbrough, and just looking at the stats, it's actually it's good news, actually, in many ways, Rob, because Middlesbrough are unbeaten in their past 13 home league games with Fulham. They've won 9, they've drawn 4. Do you remember the last time we actually lost to Fulham?
At home? No, go on.
March 1984.
Really? March, obviously, we haven't played millions of times, and that's still good.
We shared premiership duties for a time.
Yes, we did indeed.
We had a few things. Fulham have actually failed to score in each of their past 4 away league visits to the Riverside Stadium.
I like that.
And the last time they actually scored, May 2007, in a 3-1 defeat with Simon Davis scoring.
Wow.
So,
yes,
that's all looking pretty good.
Absolutely.
As we try and the lads try to get Tony Pulis' first home win for 6 games.
Yeah, of course. First home league win.
Exactly, yes, because Tony Pulis is apparently winless in the home league matches. It's his longest run, 6 home league games, stretching back obviously to West Brom.
Yeah, stretching back. Yeah, he's only ever had had one game with Middlesbrough, but we won well last week against Sunderland in the cup.
I know that there are people about 17, 18 miles north of where we are at present who might be wearing the red and white scenarios, etc., but losers, bottom of the different league, men against boys.
Yeah, they're in.
In terms of the actual
division. In trouble.
I was just intrigued, though, for the first time by the curious hairstyles being employed by Mr. Shotton and his sort of yellow, I think he has a sort of yellowy sort of style, and of course Mr. Traore. They both have very, very interesting.
Yeah, distinctive haircuts, yes.
Exactly.
Making a statement.
Very much
and
so.
Traore made a statement on the pitch, didn't he?
Exactly.
The way he cut through them, and but great passing at the end of it. That's been the mark of his last couple of games. He's had a direct assist in both of the last 2 games, and that's been a criticism that's been been levelled against him. Is that the result of Tony Pulis telling him that he wants an end product, perhaps?
Well, that, and of course Rudi Gestedt, probably having one of his better games.
Supposedly had a word with him, didn't he, beforehand, telling him where he wanted the ball put, and then, put on a plate of Gestedt, who scored with his feet.
Exactly, and for a long time, I think I was one of the people who were concerned when, I think, was it Karanka who signed Gestedt? It would have been, yes, it was.
Yes, it was. Yes.
But much as his time at Aston Villa was marked by never really having any kind of end product, or having a sort of end product, but never really being one where you think, ooh.
He didn't look a Premier, he didn't convince you as a Premiership player,
And appreciatively he's in the Championship now, but
well, he scored a lot of goals.
It can only bode well, particularly as, of course, Mr. Asamoah.
Yeah.
That's just the way I'm actually using Mr. this time.
I like that.
I have a new respect.
Respect, yes, absolutely.
A bit more respect.
Yeah.
Sort of things. Back in the, well, I figured after the debacle of the cricket Ashes, dangerous game. You know, you have to have something.
Oh yes, yeah, gentlemen players. Together.
Yeah, exactly. but it's looking. Whisper it carefully. It's looking quite healthy, and we go into tomorrow's game with Fulham. I think with a smidgen of confidence.
I think so. Fulham. Just discussing this with some of the newspaper people this morning, that Fulham looked really good when we played them at Craven Cottage early in the season. I think we got out of jail with a late goal from Cyrus Christie, but they'd really pulverised us down the wings. They were really quick and incisive, and of course they got to the playoffs, didn't they, last season?
From the, let's say, the positive Fulham start, only Wolves have actually scored more away goals than Fulham this
really?
Season.
Really? Yeah, yeah, well...
Unfortunately, they
are quick on. They're very quick on the break. With Sessegnon is a player that's a teenage player that's a really exciting prospect. Still there, surprising enough. And you mentioned all those things about Fulham, but of course they've never ever won a trophy. And even Middlesbrough beat them in the final of the Anglo-Scottish
Cup, which I was there.
Yeah.
And of course before that we mentioned West Ham United when they got to the FA Cup final
the year before. I think.
That line from there.
The oldest London club.
Yeah. Two points, I think, separate Fulham from Borough at present. Fulham coming in with 39 points from 26 games, as opposed to Borough's 41.
Yeah, so close.
It's very close to that. And as Neil Garrett writes in Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine, the battle for promotion, it's not the end, it's not even the beginning of the end. It may be the end of the beginning.
Ah.
See, I was kind of channeling my inner Gary Oldman there, just to the darkest
hour. That's right.
And clearly, the result so far, apart from the Villa game, which we won't speak about, looking quite healthy. But, you know, we saw the... interesting, he makes the point that you did in the last Live Saloon podcast, Robert, standing up at press conferences and having courage to point out what's wrong and the conviction to put it right. These are the qualities the team and the club have been looking for.
Yes, indeed. Stand and deliver.
Although it appears that his cap is actually presented to him before he actually sort of enters the press arena. Just a little snidgen.
Oh, he walks with his... He makes sure he's got his cap on as he walks in. Yeah. It's very much an entrance. And yes, it's handed over to him, I think, so that he can put it on his head.
Words of Stanny Stan, because we haven't heard from him quite some time.
No.
We haven't mentioned him for quite some time. Whoop, whoop, it's the sound of the Pulis.
Yeah.
It's all change at the top of the Borough, an ever-increasing mood swing of fans against Gary Monk, yet many were still surprised to see him go. We share that on this programme.
Yeah.
We again worked from that point of view. But he was becoming more frustrated under Monk, couldn't see what he was trying to do with the team. And regardless of feelings... His argument is we must all get behind the new gaffer, even if it means putting on your finest baseball cap and tracksuit. Which is okay. Again, Pulis has biggest challenge, according to Stanistan, his ability to turn Traore into a footballer.
Well, you know, it seems to be going quite well at the moment, doesn't it? Last couple of games.
Is there a sense that the fans are kind of up for the whole thing, and when the draw was made? Once again, you think, after so many away ties, so many away draws, clearly the fates have realised that they want more Fly Me to the Moon podcasts, so we can guarantee there will be another podcast ahead of the fourth round FA Cup time, against, of course, Brighton.
Brighton. It's brilliant, isn't it? Because it conjures up the memories of that battle. For promotion from a couple of seasons ago, where Brighton had to win and we drew 1-1. It was a fantastic, incredible atmosphere. And speaking to Brighton fans, they say that they've never experienced anything like it either. It was, and so it'd be really interesting to see it. And of course, Brighton come as they're now in the Premier League. We're in the Championship. They've got every prospect of surviving in the Premier League, I think. As long as they can score enough goals, that's their problem. The problem for Middlesbrough last season.
It's the line of things, I think.
But it's going to be a great test and be a really great event. I think
it's certainly
looking forward to a
winnable game.
Yeah,
but then dare I say it, with what Bristol City are doing these days?
Oh yeah.
Perhaps every game is a winnable game.
Well,
at least we got through. That's important. We being my other we, basically, which is the Man City sort of folk. Who just a little congratulations, Pep Guardiola, fourth consecutive Manager of the Month award. So he's the first person to actually be Manager of the Month for four consecutive seasons. The last time, obviously, the biggest one before then in the Premiership was dear old Mr. Conte at Chelsea, who actually won it for three consecutive seasons.
Seasons or months?
Months. Thank
yes.
you. You see, that's why we should.
No, it shows incredible consistency, doesn't it? And it shows that obviously Manchester City are going for it in every single tournament. So,
well, we mentioned that because obviously Specky Getz puts his football unfocused lines on with respect to that, and has an interesting line between the Mourinho Conte Mourinho dialogue from that point of view. So he doesn't actually start talking about Pep Guardiola there, but that's worthwhile for a rewild. Plus, of course, Saturday, a long, long time ago later. So farewell then, Gary Monk, Skinny Jean Supremo, no more. I'm really disappointed in everyone else, and we are ready for other ways of using catchphrases, but good stuff from that. When you go to the press conferences, Rob, there more of a positive feeling? I mean, do you get the sense, because you can often tell within the club, you get a sense of, are things really moving here? Is there a kind of level of cynicism here? Is there a depression? You know, what's the sort of vibe that's coming?
No, I think the contrast is, sadly, from the very start, Gary Monk had a sort of PR speak problem in the and he waffled and it was a shame really because there was a message in there but it never came out and I remember people saying that in his very first press conference, very likable guy, but what was he actually saying? Whereas Tony Pulis, I timed it really today because I was the press conference lasted about 7.5 minutes until then he speaks to a couple of journalists. That was really short, but he said an awful lot more in that 7.5 minutes than Gary might have done in 20, sadly.
Brevity can be the source of wit. And sometimes if people going on and on, blah, 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 and people don't pick up on it.
No, I know.
Believe me, my years as an academic in education, it's there. You know, you go on and on and on. The eyes are glazing over. Yeah. People just give up the will to live. It's just not good. Let's talk about the Borough Lotto news flash. For people who are listening to this before they go to the Riverside tomorrow, you need to buy a ticket for Borough's Lotto draw because in the woods, this is an interesting one, Tyne Tees Roger Thames. What a blast to the past.
Yes, indeed.
You can't win the raffle if you don't buy a ticket. Today's prizes, of course, or tomorrow's prizes, an admissible set of items found stowed away in Gary Monk's locker. I think it's a bit of a not quite a real draw here. But
I don't think so, no.
Exactly. But yes, a blue gilet, basically an armless jacket made up of torn up bed quilts, a membership card for the Conservative Party, and third prize being Adam Clayton. Never mind, it's all there. As we progress onwards, we've still got to talk about the thoughts of Jude, aged 7, playground pariah, setting my son up for a life of ridicule. And we've got one or two key things coming through, including Borough Boy Bari that we haven't actually spoken of before. We might even mention, I think it's time, it's New Year, New Borough, 2018. We might even have a look at Jim Flynn's Ayresome Park back in the day.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
100. Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 225 grams of magnesium, 3 resorbents.
Hang on, slow down. One tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, that's the recipe.
Oh, if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right,
or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989, or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord? I wonder.
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York, and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Hi, this is Bernie Slaven, and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Fly Me to the Moon.
Thank you, Bernie.
Exactly. The sort of pregnant pause there, just to sort of tease ahead. Jack Hatfield's the sports outfitters for all your sporting needs and expert advice service. No, it's not another sponsor for us. Oh, no. And in fact, we're not going to be sponsored by Jack Hatfield's possibly ever. Why, Rob?
Sadly, it's the shop is coming to a close in the summer. Unfortunately, can't compete against other major online and offline retailers.
Suppliers to Middlesbrough Football Club for over 70 years in this advert.
And that was in the 80s, I think.
In the 80s, yes. I have a suspicion Middlesbrough get their kit for elsewhere, really.
Well, for a long, long time, it was the only sports outfitter in Middlesbrough. And I suppose it would have been rare in the country, really. And it's very much a tradition. It's been in that position since the old original store was knocked down for Cleveland Centre in about 1970, like that.
And being, of course, he was a footballer himself, wasn't he, of course?
The original Jack Hatfield was a swimmer, Olympic silver medalist. He was one of the greatest swimmers ever, and he used to train in Middlesbrough Dock and in Albert Park and things like that. And then it was his son that had it for many years. It would have been somewhere new.
That's right, and yes, I remember sort of getting various tennis gear.
You'd take your ball in there to get it pumped up.
Precisely.
And everything would be, there would not be a price on anything, but he would give you like a special offer, wouldn't he, and make you feel like it was special. But it was always been the customer service. Sadly, it won't be anymore from the summer.
I feel the same way I feel about something else, which is also on Borough Road, which sadly is just sitting idle, although I have said it'd make a great radio studio, or maybe actually editorial offices for Fly Me to the Moon, the old ABC cinema.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Anyway, Borough Boy Bari, Chairman's Choice, the new manager, Tony Pulis, of course. Do we refer to him as TP, as Borough Boy Bari does?
He does.
Say TP?
He has TP on his shirt. Could be what he's thinking there.
Very good, yes, exactly.
So yeah.
There's got to be a sort of Top Cat line. I'll have to work on that.
Yeah.
He's the fan. new manager's arrived with a flourish, immediately inaugurated his own ways and system. Within a game and a half, already made a big impact, changing the team formation and bringing on subs early at Preston. And, as we know, he turned the game around, which looked as though it was going to be problematic. So the line is there, and I think certainly the match against Sunderland, although it is a cup game, and although we build it as the Battle of the Welsh Dragons, I think it's fair to say we'd rather have Pulis than Coleman.
Yeah, you still got to wonder what Coleman was thinking going there, really, because it's such a difficult club. They're in so much trouble, really.
And his managerial career, if you talk about league management, taking out the Welsh scenario, is, I would say, problematic.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace, Fulham.
Yeah.
Never really kind of, I mean, no. Interesting, but not a kind of major line through the whole system.
Yeah. And I think Barry says in his piece about how at the start he says that it wasn't somebody that he wanted when Monk went. But already...
Well, did anybody?
Well, you know...
the response that we actually had on Fly Me to the Moon when we started talking about it.
But could be the same as... Barry might be the same. Many people might be like Barry in saying that he's already kind of talked him round.
Thank goodness we didn't get Mark Hughes. Anyway, thoughts of Jude, age 7. That was the best match in the world. I sat in the West Stand up in front of the press box of the Sunderland game. The view was brilliant. Before the match started, Ben was laughing like Billy O. Just talk to us about why Jude, age 7, told Neil Weldon all about this.
Why? Because he goes in the Generation Red family zone, and he has a great day out every time. And this... this was, with it being a cup match, you could go in other stands. So it was interesting, actually. There wasn't many people in that corner. They were all around the ground. So he's really excited by the whole atmosphere and the whole occasion. Every game's an event for him at the age of seven. And he just likes to tell Neil, and he wants Neil to tell us about what it's all about.
Because we haven't actually acknowledged the thoughts of Jude age seven before.
No, not.
So we just have.
Yeah.
And who knows, we might indeed.
That's a picture of him there.
I gathered it was drinking
a hot chocolate.
What a marvellous sort of action shot, great. Really.
Yeah, it is action shot, yeah.
Exactly, a general line from that. And juxtaposed with that, Ian Smith writes, as his father most likely said to him when he first pulled on the Heritage Hampers home shirt from 1988. Oh, happy days. Archie Stevens, I think, was he playing then when they had Heritage Hampers?
Yes.
Archie Stevens.
Yes.
Like it or lump it, son, you're stuck with us, so there's nothing you can do about it. Another Borough fan recruited.
Ian's got a dilemma. Because he's got a little boy who's younger than Jude, and Ian lives in Doncaster. So his dilemma is, does he...
Bit like our former sports tutor who's never sort of turned up to the studio again.
We put him off.
So clearly.
No, but yeah, his dilemma is, is he a pushy parent? Does he force his son to follow Middlesbrough? Or does he put up with the fact that his son might want to follow Doncaster, or even worse, Man United or Leeds or whatever? What does he do?
Do you want to go down Leeds or Man United, please? No. I've already gone on record, despite my parents purchasing season tickets for 5 consecutive years for Middlesbrough Football Club, and going through the whole thing, I'm afraid that it was the invitation to Main Road, Manchester, from Francis Lee and the Junior Blues. So that was it. I was done. You know, so I was
so what age were you then?
8 or 9.
Oh, right. So he was, right.
Yeah, so.
So Jude could still be tempted.
If he
to dark side.
Light side of Manchester is always better than the dark side, but that's another line entirely. Ayrton Park back in the day. Shall we attempt to actually do a live read through of Jim Flynn's, a little opus here? And, shall we take, I don't know, how can we actually play this? A little production meeting live on. If I take the first column, which goes down to "there was an audible thud," you can follow through from then.
Okay.
That'd be okay?
Yeah.
I think that's so. All right, fine. Do we need a musical bed for this? No, I don't think so.
No.
Okay, you put your own music bed on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bit of interactiveness. We are giving you what in the trade is referred to as naked speech here. If you want to actually sort of play on your own musical bed.
And I'll tell you what, this has been a controversy this week in that people have been discussing whether there should be music after a goal is scored or not.
Yeah, well,
it really divides.
Exactly.
It's a big divide.
We could do Pig Bag.
Yep.
Or we could have Silence.
But Ayrton Park, you created your own music.
Exactly.
And that's where we're going.
And you can do that. I personally would actually choose some Shrug.
Okay.
For this. But anyway, right. Ayrton Park, back in the day, Jim Flynn. When football was played in a different way, when players wore long-sleeved shirts with cuffs and collar, when the dearest admission price was less than a dollar, when we stood in the bob end behind the goal with a mug of OXO and a sausage roll, when no matter how exciting the game, the biggest draw was when the pies came, when the ball was a bladder inside a leather case, inflated with air and tied with lace, circumference 28 inches round, maximum weight 1 whole pound, which tripled in weight when covered in mud, and when headed and kicked, there was an audible thud.
When Wilf Mannion's shorts met his socks at his knees, and he skipped past opponents like a leaf in a breeze, when referees were all in black, and teams played with a five-man attack, when comedian Astor entertained the crowd and shouted advice to Brian Clough in a voice resonant and loud, when games started in daylight and finished in the dark, when match buses dropped off and picked up outside Albert Park, they are gone, those magical days, consigned to the past, but in Borough fans' memories, they will always last.
Well, I've got to say, I think we nailed it there, Rob. I mean, it was like Gested and Traore just combining to actually score the fourth goal against Fulham. Did I say 4 goals against Fulham? drop that one in there from that perspective. We have scooted through this particular side of things. We haven't been too cruel to our folk from Sunderland. 2-0, though. They had one or two mini chances, but they did look all at sea.
No, I just think, for a club that's just come down from the Premier League, they look in a real mess. They've got no money to spend. And in these days of financial fair play, it's a big season. It's a big chance to bounce back first attempt. And they look to be going through that league. And they might have to rebuild from the next tier down. That is a massive... When you think of how many years they were in the Premier League and they didn't manage to build anything with a billionaire owner.
Yeah. It's so...
And the crowds that they normally get. Yeah.
yeah.
Amazing.
Still, never mind. Let's not all laugh at Sunderland.
Okay. It could be worse, of course. Sadly, we're all sending our best wishes, and people are sending money and to Hartlepool. We hope that Hartlepool can survive. They need £200,000 by the end of this month to pay off the wages of the of people at the club, and then ever more after that. And we're appealing to everyone who's not going to the Borough QPR game next weekend to go along and watch Hartlepool versus Wrexham in the National League and fill Victoria Park. And it's kind of like repayment for us in the fact that they allowed our...
86, of course.
Back in 86, if they hadn't have opened the gates to us, the Football League were kicking us out. So
I wonder if a Hartlepool fan at this moment is looking to put together a fanzine that could actually 30 years later, when we actually get to 2046, relate to the whole system.
Yeah.
Ever mind. Okay, that's life. And so how can people subscribe to Fly Me to the Moon, the paper edition?
Well, I thought I didn't even put the subscription details in because I thought it was finished with. And then two people have subscribed today.
You see? There we are.
Yeah.
You know, so they can and...
Yeah.
Is it the same offer as we had previous seasons? If they go for the whole thing, you can get all the back issues thrown in as well?
I just said to the last two people that you can get the... If you get this one and the next four, then you've got half the... You know, all the 2018 ones.
Exactly. And there's all the podcasts.
Yeah. Mate, I've got all the back issues if you want them. But it's £13 actually from now till the end of the season, as I recall. And it's... you pay by PayPal.
Presumably a...
Click on subscribe.
A special Fly Me to the Moon for when we go to Wembley in the FA Cup semi-final.
Of course, yeah.
Actually. Yeah. Only another three more games to actually win in the Cup, and it's all good.
Yeah, so if you look at... Go to fmttm.com and click on subscribe, then all the details are there. That's probably the best way to do it.
Before you have chance to actually say January, February... Parche to Barbara Dixon, of course, who had a great hit with January, February. Mm. Or indeed, Pilot and January, Sick and Tired, You've Been Hanging on Me.
Hanging on me, that's right.
Will be back with another edition of the Fly Me to the Moon podcast. This time it'll be, of course, the Cup special.
Yep.
Actually, it's quite an interesting one, this, because I was all prepping up for that one to be the home game against Sheffield Wednesday, which would have taken place, of course, had Barry not progressed.
That's right. That's now a midweek match.
Exactly. Mm. So clearly, our good friends and colleagues from Manila PR, Tony McDonough, and his passionate Sheffield Wednesday supporting ways. They have got a new manager, of course, these days.
Yes, it was all changed at both clubs after we last played. But they've got a big derby match tonight. If you listen to this on Friday, then they're playing Sheffield United tonight.
It is, absolutely. So the Blades versus the Owls.
And they've been firmly second best to Sheffield United this season, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's... I wouldn't hold out a great deal of hope for them. But who knows?
It's a derby, goes out of the window, as they say.
In a real sense, if we're looking to nudge into those playoffs...
Yes, exactly.
A win for Sheffield Wednesday...
Wouldn't be bad.
Exactly. Would keep things nicely bubbling through. Predictions? I've already said 4-0 to Middlesbrough.
I know.
what are we going to go for?
I'm going for 2-0. Did you say 2-0 for against Sunderland last week?
We'd have to double check that.
I don't know. I think you might have done.
Well, you see.
But I'm saying 2-0 tomorrow against Fulham.
Oh, I'm going 4-0. Marvellous stuff there. So seven simple words. They have arrived. A 1, a 2, a 3.
Come on, Borough. Up the Borough.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.